This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Well, let's cycle through these calls here first. Matt in Barrington, Rhode Island on the Celts. Hi, Matt.
Hey, I was just wondering what your guys' thoughts are on when Gordon Hayward gets back. What do we do with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Like, do we trade them or... I don't know. What do we do with them?
Okay. Is there redundancy there? Hayward, Brown, Tatum.
Sure. Yeah, there's a little bit of redundancy, but I think that's the way the Celtics want it. I think that idea... Now, look...
Maybe you'll finally get some consistency in terms of scoring off your bench. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and I think ultimately the Celtics are going to move Brown or Tatum. Like, if there's an Anthony Davis deal to be made, you're going to have to move one of
those. I was
going to
say, you draft someone number 3 overall to bring him off your bench?
No, they're going to move one of those guys ultimately.
And you don't give someone $25 million a year, whatever it was for Hayward, to bring him off the bench, so...
Yeah, right. And in the interim, I would tell you that they're okay with playing with 3 wing players. 4, in fact. They put Kyrie and 4 of them out there together. You know, it'll be those 3, Kyrie and Horford. That's the 5 guys they'll have on the floor when they really want their 5 best.
You'll hold out hope for Hayward this year?
Sure.
No.
I know they have it in the back of their minds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm holding out hope. If I were them, I'd play it differently. But do I think there's a shot he plays in May? Yeah, I do. I think there's a chance.
The coach essentially just shut it down the other day, that he's not going to return this year.
Thank God. That's the only guy in the organization who's talking any sense.
I agree.
But he doesn't believe it. They think he can be back. But it's smart to say he's not coming back. We're not counting on him. We're not put, you know, if, you know, we want to hear about it. He's not coming back this year. And then he works on his own. If he comes back, he comes back. That's the way they should handle it. But these other guys can't help themselves. Like, everyone else in the organization sort of whispering, like, he can come back.
You think there's a problem here between the player and the team on what they view his season being?
Oh, here comes something out of nowhere.
Right.
Just wondering, like, off the top of my head, just, oh.
I'm just asking if the player is forcing the team's hand and the team wants to shut him down for the year.
So I need you to stop and back up and start over with your first underground take that came out of nowhere. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Say the first thing you said, please.
I'm wondering if there's a, if the player, Gordon Hayward, wants to play this season, and if the team wants him shut down for the season completely.
No, but that's not the word you use. You use the word problem. You said, is there a problem?
Thank you. You were missing. Thank you.
Yes. Is there a problem with the team and the player on what this season means to both?
There you go. And my answer, problem. My answer would be no, not yet.
I'd be stunned. Because Danny gives it life like every time I hear him talk. And I know sort of behind the scenes they've talked like, he can come back.
He's out of the boot. He's been taking shots.
Right. They let you know that. So what, Danny on one hand is going to say, he's coming back, he's coming back. And then on the other hand, shut him down. And that doesn't feel right to me, Jimmy, but you have your...
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just asking a question if there's a problem brewing or anything like that.
Oh, problem brewing. Now it's brewing.
Yeah. How many rows behind the bench are you going to be sitting tonight, Jimmy?
I'll be in the boardroom.
Like, do I think that Hayward wants to play and that there are a lot of them telling him slow down? Yes. Do I think it's a problem yet? No.
But
yet.
let's keep an eye on it, Jimmy. Good job. Here's Sean in Lawrence on the Bees. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Maz, I have a very simple question for you.
Okay,
Who's a better player, Brandon Carlo or McDonough?
Right now, probably McDonough.
Okay, because I'm confused as to why, if you can add a top 10 defenseman in the entire league and make you an instant Stanley Cup contender, why you would be reluctant, even though I love Brandon Carlo's game. I think he's got potential. But why you wouldn't give up somebody like Brandon Carlo, who's never going to pan out as a number one defenseman in the league, for somebody like McDonough that can help you not only in the short term, but in the long term, because he's only like 28, 29.
28. Yeah, go ahead, Matt. So answer. Why wouldn't you do it?
Because I think in the NHL now, you got to weigh the long term, and you got to factor in the cap, and you got to factor in all that, and you have your number one defenseman for the long term in McAvoy. And so, you know, you can't extend too far in one direction and then all of a sudden leave yourself vulnerable. And I'm just saying that it also, the economics might not totally work. So that's all. Look, I'm not telling you Carlo's going to be McDonough, because I don't know. I doubt it.
No, he's not.
He hasn't scored a goal all year, I don't think.
He does not project to be that kind of player. He projects to be a number 4 defenseman, a good, solid defensive zone guy on the second pair. And you should not have to pay a premium for that. But maybe that's why it works. Because you're going to play McAvoy, when he gets his contract, might be the highest paid defenseman in the league. Like, this is how the league's gotten stupid. Your second contract, you automatically go to the top of the pay scale. So you might have McAvoy on, if not the highest contract in the league, pretty close to it. Can you afford then McDonough, who's going to also get elite money?
Not for the long term, I don't think.
So, right. So that's the answer, caller, that maybe Carlo just fits better from a salary standpoint. But then again, you can pay two defensemen at the top of the chart, but then your third pair better be kids who make nothing. And your bottom of your roster better be good and affordable and young and cheap. And if you can do it, great. I'm just telling you that's the factor.
See, I think they've got the right model there right now. I mean, you know, look, they got good, young, talented players, and they're still coming, so you can rotate them in as you go and let some go and keep others. They've got a good model. At the same time, I want them to do something at this deadline. Don't just sit on your hands, but you don't have to make a blockbuster, though. McDonough feels to me like borderline blockbuster.
Special guy, though. Like, I love him. I love the player. Jeff in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Michael, I just got a question for you based on rumors that are out there. But before I do, I just got to say, Maz, good call. Not that I like the Super Bowl outcome, but you stayed strong, stayed true to your belief. Got to give you credit.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, and I also like your take on the Red Sox. I've got to tell you, it'll be the first time in many years I haven't bought my opening day seats for the Red Sox. So disgusted. But anyways, so Michael, so the rumor is Donato on the Olympics, yep. Teddy's son, he's going to step right into the NHL. Now, I'll be the first one to admit I really haven't followed him other than I know he's one of the leading goal scorers. But
can I just stop you, Jeff?
Your take on that.
Yeah, go ahead. So here's your take. He gave away the game today against Slovenia, if anyone cares. If anyone cares. I watched it. The end of it anyway. I turned it on just in time to see the U.S. blow a 2-goal lead at the end of the third and then lose in the 3-on-3 because Donato gave the puck away and then didn't cover in his own end. Donato's supposed to be a great prospect. And, you know, I'm all in on Donato. Sounds great. Not what they need. Like, I don't need another kid to come up and take a slack. I'm not relying. I mean, there's three or four other guys in Providence who could come up and, like, give me the same feeling. Bjork or Senishin or, like, these guys. They have a whole boatload of those guys. So Donato's just another one of them. Man, I'll take them. God bless. But what you're looking here at the deadline is someone who's NHL-ready and proven. And, you know, Donato hasn't played an NHL playoff game. Neither is DeBrusk. Neither is Senishin. Neither is any of these guys. So what you're talking about is getting a guy that's been through the grind of the playoffs and knows what it takes and hopefully has a little physicality to him as well. So I'm not banking on Donato or any of these other kids. There's, you know, you could pick from 10 different kids down there to come up and do that thing.
I mean, to me, like, I'd love to see them make a move giving up their second-round pick. Even if it's a rental, I'll give up a second-rounder for a rental if it's a veteran right wing that can help them. If it's a guy who's signed, I'll give up the first-rounder. But I'm not giving up a first-rounder for a rental. I think the Bruins shouldn't. I don't think they should. They're not there yet. See, I think people are getting sucked into this because of this run they're on. And look, it's a great run. They're not a cup favorite. Do you believe they are?
No, hell no.
They're not a cup favorite. So I just think, enjoy this for what it is. It's been unbelievable. Really, it's been out of this world. And like, this is a fan's dream. You get an overachieving team. It's fabulous. But don't do something stupid now and think that they're this good all the time.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Once I got home, kind of reflected on the season, that was kind of when it was like, all right, something needs to change. Like I said, I came into spring training, I think, a little too prepared. You know, I felt like I had something to prove last year, too. You know, I'm here in a new city with a new team, and, you know, felt like I had to kind of prove myself again. And I think that kind of came back to bite me in the end, but I'm not going to look back and can't change it now. So, you know, that's kind of where we are now. How we got here is to, like I said, kind of build up and maintain throughout the whole year.
So this end part, to me, and this was towards the end of the interview, where he said, you know what, I got back home and reflected and something's got to change. Okay, like that to me was the only time he addressed the issue head on, and the issue is his fading at the end of the season. This has been a recurring, ongoing issue in his career, and it happened last year. He faded. He ran out of juice. In his last 10 starts of the year, basically, he had an ERA over 4. So I don't need to tell you, I looked up his game log again today, and starting in August, you know, 5 innings, 7 runs, Seven innings, four runs. Three innings, six runs. Four and a third, three runs. Five and two-thirds, four runs. Five innings, five runs. It happened over and over and over again in the final 2 months. So it was the obvious question, how you fix it. And so ultimately the interview ended up there where he said, you know, something's got to change, right? But the process to get to that comment has me concerned. Okay, so you're going to have to work with me here a little bit because he was asked a series of questions. This runs a couple of minutes, but we'll stop and start it. And, you know, we left in the questions from the reporters of Sale talking about adjusting his routine and finding a way to keep him strong so that he's strong at the end of the year. Okay, because he fades. Here's how, Jimmy, start it up. Here we go.
Chris, are you going to approach spring training a little differently this year than last year?
We've kind of gotten together a couple times and talked about different things and different, you know, kind of schedules to kind of build up through spring training instead of just kind of maintaining, more build up than maintain.
Stop. So I feel like even then he's choosing his words very carefully, right? And that was Johnny Miller at WBZ TV that asked the question, as we've told people a million times, but just in the event you don't know, Johnny has cerebral palsy. So Johnny asks the question, you hear him say, yeah, you know, we've talked a lot of things, you know, the maintain and build up. And, okay, so get to the core issue. Keep going, Jimmy.
Is that something that Alex is kind of driving? Is that something you, Coach Jim? How did that conversation develop?
That's between myself, Dana, Alex, Brad, Kiyoshi. I mean, we're all involved, whether in the training room, in the weight room. We've all got together and kind of talked about coming up with a formula for longevity and, you know, like I said, building up. I think last year I came into spring training kind of too amped up, too ready to go, and I think we're kind of looking for more of a gradual build up. So
okay, so again, came in too amped up, longevity, you know, maintaining, like, it feels to me like they're using these euphemisms. Like, they're not actually, you know, are Sales using these euphemisms, longevity, maintaining, instead of saying, hey, look, you know, I mean, I got to find a way to last at the end of the year. It all feels like they're soft-stepping it. They're all soft-stepping it. Keep going, Jimmy.
Would that help you toward the end of the season to be stronger than you were last year?
Well, I can't say for certain because, you know, I haven't really done it, but that's the plan. That's our end goal. Seeing things as a whole instead of so kind of in front of you. So yeah, we're working on something to kind of, like I said, create longevity and maintain strength throughout the whole year.
So hold on, how come you're shaking your head?
Because the way they're talking about it irritates me, and the way he's talking about it irritates me. You know, yeah, we're working on something. Where, okay, well, what are you doing? Well, yeah, I'm talking to those guys about it. Well, you know, well. Okay, so what's the issue? Why are you losing steam? Well, you know, it just, I don't feel like you're hitting it head on. It bugs the crap out of me.
Maybe he just doesn't want to admit it because he still wants another contract and wants to be a, you know, like he just doesn't want to admit that he's, fragile is the wrong word, but whatever he is, he doesn't want to admit to it.
Okay, so I think you're getting to the core of the issue. And this goes on. This went on for, like, again, a solid 2 minutes or so. I think this is the last part of it. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
Is it more important for you to sort of be saving your bullets in spring training and between starts rather than have it result in, you know, lowered pitch counts and things during games?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like I said, we're kind of looking kind of like a plane takes off, you know, kind of that gradual buildup instead of just kind of a heavy workload up front and then just kind of maintaining that. You know, I'm confident, obviously, in the people I have in my mm-hmm. corner, and I'm confident in myself to be able to stay on track. You know, it's kind of weird doing something different than I've ever done, and but I, like I said, I have faith and trust in everyone here and in myself to see this process through and make sure we're on the positive side of things.
Okay, stop there, Jimmy. I don't believe him. I don't think he's confident in it. I think that's what this whole thing's about. That thing went on for a couple of minutes. It's a simple question. Chris, look, you lost some, you know, you didn't pitch well at the end of last year. Historically, your numbers in the second half aren't as good as they are in the first. How do you fix that? What are you doing to fix it? And it's this, well, you know, longevity, maintaining, you know, it's a, kind of like a plane taking off. Like, like, seriously, how many metaphors you want to use? Get to the issue. No, look, it, guys, it's happening. And again, the cut that we played at the beginning of the segment, something's got to change. Boom, that's what I'm looking for. What it took to get there, holy crap. And I think that they went to him and said, when I heard this whole thing and I heard what it took to get to that point, I said, they went to him and said, listen, we want to find a way to make you better in September. And he's looking at it saying, I don't know if I believe in this. What was wrong with the way I pitched in September? He said he didn't watch video or film of what he did at the end of the year. And I think he's looking at it saying, now you're going to change my routine. I've had a pretty good run here in the big leagues. Like, I don't think he believes it. Well, I don't think he believes in the program.
Can I give him another idea and the Red Sox another idea?
Go.
When you're going for a Furkacher record that no one cares about, how about not send him out there for an extra inning just to get his, what was it?
300 strikeouts.
I was going to say, the thing was so meaningless, I don't even know what it was. Does anyone? Does anyone remember?
No.
What he, was it 300 strikeouts? Was it 100 strikeouts in a year? 300 strikeouts in a season? 500 in a career? No one knows. No one knows. No one cares. And they sent him out there for that extra inning. And I don't remember the game.
It was a game they won against the Orioles 9-0. He pitched eight innings.
God.
And in the eighth inning, he got his 13th strikeout.
So that's the one I remember. Like, you want to preserve a guy? Let's not do that. I mean, now it does all come back to me. I mean, some people were very excited about it,
though. You figure this is like the perfect spot unless they want to get Price in there in a higher leverage situation.
Woo! Yes!
I have a feeling we're not going to do this Evan guy.
Yes!
It's going to be an epic rant.
300 strikeout, baby! Yes! Suck it, Baltimore!
This is breaking sports news.
That's right.
It's going to change on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, Chris Sale records his 300th strikeout of the season. First pitcher to do that since Pedro Martinez. He's getting high fives throughout the dugout. It's big time, folks, big time. Chris Sale, strikeout number 300. And I think he just mouthed, I dedicate that to Adam Jones. I'm not sure, but I think he looked directly into the camera and mouthed that.
Yeah, how's that taste, Baltimore? 300 strikeout. Right in your eyeball. Suck on that.
Okay, so there you
Chris
go.
Sale, like, back out.
Yeah, so that's a good idea. Let's throw him out for his 300th strikeout when the guy fades in September. Like, can we just start with that?
Okay, sure. So that's an easy one.
Just a perfect call by manager John.
But I'll tell you the whole thing, like, again, and I heard it today and I said, ooh, he's not crazy about what they're doing. Because they're telling him slow down and he doesn't want to slow down.
We will all remember for the rest of our lives.
So again, just to refresh your memory. Okay, because I told you, I felt this at the beginning of last year. I looked at it, I said, this guy's got a history of fading, they're going to mismanage him. Okay, do you remember how much he pitched early in the year last year?
Yes!
Okay, so his first six starts of the year, six starts for a team that had a World Series in mind. Seven innings, 7 2/3, seven innings, 8-8-8. 8-8-8. He's really, and with their bullpen.
In today's day and age, that's a lot.
Stupid! Out of the gate, you're pitching him eight innings three
just
times
a perfect
in the first
call
month?
By manager John.
Idiots! Like, it's so dumb that they leaned on him that hard. So now they went to him and they said, listen, we want to see more sixes in April so that we can get more sevens in September. That's the goal. That's the whole idea.
And you don't think he's buying?
I think he's worried. I don't think when he keeps saying over and over again, you know, I have confidence in these guys to do it. At the same time, it's a little weird. They're changing his routine. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. They're changing his routine, and it wouldn't surprise me if he gets off to a bad start.
Well, how much of it has to do with Tyler Thornburg? Remember, they put him on a program, and this time last year, he was
pitching. Oh, that shoulder program. Did that shoulder program survive? The one that's ruined, like, half the pitchers that have come through here?
I'm just telling you, I already feel it. Listening to that interview today, and the questions, and the way he was answering them, the way he was picking his words, soft-stepping around it, you know, the euphemisms, all of it. I said, this guy doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do the program that they are approaching him with to slow down at the beginning because he doesn't know any other way. His whole career in the big leagues has been the same way. He comes out like gangbusters at the beginning of the year, and then he fades, and he looks at the end result and says, well, good year, ran out of juice a little at the end. Now they're asking him to do it differently. He's not sure it's going to work.
Okay, so there's a Red Sox.
Strikeout, breaking ball at the knees. What a moment.
So there's a Red Sox thought for you. We have a couple more coming up for you as well with your phones right after Murray's update.
Yes!
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. I've never played second base.
Alex Cora was asked about second base without Pedroia, and he was asked about his catching situation. And in answering all those questions, it came to light that they're going to look at Blake Swihart in a lot of different places. And Cora said he played third, he can play second, he's played the outfield, he's caught, he was a shortstop in high school or whatever. And so the takeaway there is that while Pedroia is hurt, they may consider Swihart at second. Well, he's played second before, and the manager said he's played second. Here's Swihart today.
I've never played second base.
Oh, man. I missed that. I was like, what was that clip?
Oh, yeah, it's comical. Yeah, because the question that was posed to him was, when's the last time you played second base? And what he said is...
I've never played second base.
Oh, my God. This poor kid.
And the, so then the, he goes on to say, well, you know, I played third, I played shortstop in high school, but I've never played second.
I've never played second base.
Excellent. No, this is a good one now. I'm eager to see how this one shakes down, too. Let's just throw the guy at second base, see how it goes. Last time they did this, a guy broke his leg.
Nunez?
No, he played it before. Wilfredo Cordero, remember him?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
They put him in, bad guy.
Yeah, they put him at second base. He had never played it. He broke his leg. Someone slid into him and he broke it. That was that.
All right.
They moved him to left field.
Back to your phones. Bruins on the board. Red Sox mixing in here. Sergio and Brockton on the Red Sox. Go, Sergio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Sergio.
I'm just wondering, is Chris Sale and David Price going to be able to get it together and be a strong 1-2 punch?
So I'm not worried about Sale. I mean, I'm worried about Sale in September. Maz raised a good point last year, and it's still valid this year. Price? Who the hell knows, man? I mean, if I had to guess, he has a bounce-back year because he has good incentive. If he pitches well, he can opt out and make money somewhere else and get the hell out of here, which is I think he should be desperate to do. So there's incentive there. Make your 30-plus starts, pitch well, be healthy, hope the market rebounds a little bit, and go get your money somewhere else because you want to be somewhere else.
I mean, if they can ever get those two guys going at the same time.
It's good.
Sure. We never really saw it last year. Yeah, and Price got hurt early. He got hurt out of spring training. And, you know, by the time he was of any value to them, he was in the bullpen. And Sale had faded by then. So we never saw it. Like, what if they both are locked in?
Ed in Boston has a Bruins thought. Hi, Ed.
How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I think Bruins should try to lure Tavares in. I know he's just a rental to the end of the season, but we've seen deals like that go through pretty good. Oh. And if it doesn't work, we could try to lure him in as a free agent next year. Okay. And I would think about moving Krejci.
So, of course, you would think about moving Krejci for John Tavares. No problem. What are you going to get for David Krejci, and what does it take to rent John Tavares? And why?
You know what, honestly, I wouldn't even go that route.
Thank you.
To me,
it just feels unrealistic. And why are the Islanders renting him out? To get something as opposed to losing him for nothing? Like, I sort of get that, but I think they're in the playoffs too, and they're trying to get their fan base in order there and their buildings in order and all of that. I don't know. I just don't feel like that's a realistic possibility. And it's not necessarily, I know it sounds stupid, like I don't want John Tavares, but that's not really what if you're going to give me a kid, I just stick with their own kids. What they're doing with their own kids that they're drafting and developing seems fine to me. More than fine. You're on the right track. So this is why when people bring up Kane, Evander Kane, or John Tavares, and Kane's a little bit older, I think. I think both of them are. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like a younger player. I don't need any younger players. I'm all for trading for a guy square in his prime, like McDonough, that fills a need. But I'm not trading for another kid. We're bursting at the seams with kids. And you may not have a Tavares in your organization, who does? He's an elite player. But it feels like you have the young talent and it's going in the right direction. So stick with that. If you want to cash some of that in because you're redundant, you've got six left shot defensemen in your organization. You've got six left wings drafted in the first or second round and there's just too many. And you want to peel one of those off to get older or someone in the prime, fine. Now we're talking. But for another kid, that I don't know, that feels lateral.
Well, that's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to draft well, have a bulk of them, pick the right ones, and deal the other ones. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Dave in Plymouth, thanks for hanging on. Dave, what do you got for us today?
So here's why I make the Ryan McDonagh deal. Right now, Chara is killing off all 2 minutes of, you know, shorthanded situations. And that may be fine now, but when you get into April and May, you need another guy to take some of those minutes from him because that's going to be a grind. It's going to be tough. I know he's in great shape. Think about pairing McDonough and Chara in a defensive zone with Bergeron and taking faceoffs. Huh. When you're in a one-goal situation, the other teams pull their goalie. Who do you want out there? I mean, it just, to me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm giving them either Lindgren or Lauzon, Zboril, Sensation, and a draft pick.
Okay, so those aren't hard decisions, Dave. We haven't seen those players. They're not on the team. They haven't contributed to this run. I think everyone would do that. Would you give up DeBrusque or Carlo?
I would consider DeBrusque no on Carlo.
Okay, so I'm like, that's when it gets hard. When you look at the young players, Heinen, Carlo, DeBrusque, you know, those guys that have contributed to them having the best record in the league, those are the hard decisions. Those are the players the Rangers are going to be asking for. Are you willing to give that up? Don't give me Zboril. I think we'd all give up Zboril.
I mean, because you're giving up a guy, again, who's a huge unknown and who's underachieved to this point. Like, if you want a good player, you're going to give something up. You're not going to get him for nothing.
Connor in Shrewsbury on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wondering if Chris Sale's slow build plan there involves maybe a couple of sandwiches for that 6'6", 180-pound frame of his. I mean, I think of guys who've had success late in the year for the Red Sox in the past, you know, 10, 15 years. I think of Pedro. I think of Schilling. These are guys with, you know, big legs, big butt, all about that base. He's got a, you know, 6'6", 180 for a man of that size is you know, going to break down end of the year.
Yeah, I don't think Pedro had a big ass. Don't kid yourself.
But was he the most durable guy in the world?
No. So that was the problem. I mean, Pedro had to be managed, too. And this is how I would approach it with Sale. Because you can see, you know, Sale takes pride in being a horse. Okay, he takes pride in that. He talked about it today. Starts in innings. That's it. Again, starts in innings. They all say that. But I think he with him, I believe it. He feels intense to me. And it means something to him. So what they're telling him is, we're going to back off on the starts and innings. And he's looking at it going, huh? So I don't think he's fully bought in. I think he's, okay, I'll do it, but I don't know if this is going to work. I think he has his doubts.
Lenny and Everett on the Bruins in the deadline. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what do you got?
I got, you and Maserati are killing me. Not a Stanley Cup contender. 29-5
No. He said, Lenny, he said favorite. Do you think they're a Stanley Cup favorite?
They got to be in the conversation. That's 38 games.
That's not favorite. That's not favorite. Are they, just stop talking and answer the question, are they a Stanley Cup? Are they a Stanley Cup favorite, Lenny?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And Ryan McDonagh, no thank you. Two goals on the year. Why are you going to break something that's, you know, fix something that's not broken? This team is could win the Stanley Cup as constituted. They don't need to make any moves.
Okay, they could. I think it would take a lot, Lenny.
You don't want to give up any of these young kids. Carlo, DeBrusque, no way. Not even if Ryan McDonagh came in here and won the Stanley Cup for you. This is our core for a long, long time. We don't need anybody right now, Michael. 38 games, 29 wins in this day and age is damn impressive. Don't touch anything. Let's go for it and see what happens.
Okay, babe. He's going to learn the I talk, you talk thing or not?
No. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't, like, jump down his throat.
No, let him go. He was plowing through no matter what. Let him go. He had to get it out. He got it out.
You must be in a good mood.
No. Maybe I'm evolving as a person, Maz. Maybe I'm evolving.
I doubt it.
But, you know, like, look, so, I mean, I disagree with the guy. It's really hard. You mean, every team that drafts and develops and comes up from court, they still make moves. They still, it's not 100% homegrown. It's very rare. I mean, you've got to sort of mix and match and pick who stays and who goes, and not every prospect works out. You just got to sort of, there's always a sort of a mix. And so I just disagree with them. I also disagree that they're a Stanley Cup favorite.
This guy's delusional. You can't be serious. Like, I hear him talking about 29-5-4, whatever the hell it is, and I think, who cares? In the big picture, who cares?
It's the regular season.
It's a hell of a run. Listen, so what I would ask that guy is Vegas a legit Cup contender? Do you think Vegas is? Because I don't. I think Vegas is going to get into the postseason and lose. So to me, the legitimate Cup contenders are, you know, Nashville, Tampa Bay. Hell, I'd even still say Washington, despite the ability their ability to puke on themselves.
You have to still say Pittsburgh.
Penguins.
And that's an obvious one too, right? That I totally left out. So like I look at those teams and say those teams get some talent. Those teams are wagons. Would he say what he said about the Bruins about Vegas? No. Of course not. Who would? It's a good story, Vegas. Listen, fabulous. Does anyone really think they're going to win the Cup?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys.
Maz on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I was listening to some of Dave Dombrowski today down at the picnic tables in Fort Myers, Maz, and this cut stood out to me for a couple different reasons. Here's Steve Buckley asking the questions. The questions are a little faint, so you got to work a little hard to hear the questions. But basically, Steve Buckley's asking Dave Dombrowski about the lack of activity from the Red Sox, and does he hear it from fans? So here's the question.
I recognize that your job is baseball ops and like public relations, but there's clearly been some frustration with Red Sox fans. I'm not suggesting that you would then speed up a trade to make to mollify the fan base, but at the same time, are you aware of that? Concerned about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I read some stuff. But it's interesting when you say that, and I'm sure that there is a segment. But I will just say, as I'm walking in here, I have a few people saying, "Don't do anything. Don't make any moves." You know. So I mean, there is really, you know, when you say that, I go out every morning. I have a cup of coffee and sit at a Dunkin' Donuts, and I bet you I have about 10 people a day that talk to me, and it's really split. So I mean, your pulse, you must hear that, and probably that's a louder voice. But people are very supportive of it. Don't do anything that you think is unwise.
I'm sorry. So you're being approached by Red Sox fans who
are... But I sit in Dunkin' Donuts by myself, and they come over and they talk to me.
No, and you're talking to a segment of Red Sox fans who say, no. Don't make any moves?
Yeah, and individually, not a big group, but on an individual basis, yeah. Don't do anything unwise.
Well, don't do anything, don't do anything unwise.
There's both.
Okay, so two things. The first is, are there really fans out there who are saying, do nothing? But I'll get to that in a second. Because then it occurred to me. So wait a minute. Dave Dombrowski goes to a Dunkin' Donuts every morning and sits there to drink his coffee in the Dunkin' Donuts. At which point fans approach him one-on-one about 10 a day to ask him questions about the Red Sox.
Sounded like Buck was equally stunned.
To which I say... That sounds like my personal version of hell. Can you imagine the horror of sitting down in the Dunkin' Donuts and then letting one, and I say this with all the love and respect in my heart, but one masshole after the next to come up and chirp in your ear about your team?
Yeah, hi. I'll have a large regular and a turkey sausage wake-up wrap. No cheese. Yeah, Dave, hi. I was just wondering. My name's Mark. I live in Watertown. I was just like, are you getting J.D. Martinez? What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Because I came down here, and I thought you guys would have some players, and I want to see J.D.
I can't think of anything more. And believe me, I'm a man of the people. I love the people. You sit in the shop and let people come up to you?
Let me get a small, hot, 2-equal in milk Boston cream, sweetheart. Dave, what... Why do you do nothing this offseason? Why are you sticking with David Price? I mean, come on, guy. He don't like it here. He's no good. And let me tell you something, Dombrowski. I'd rather root for a losing winner than a winning loser. You know what I mean. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, before you answer, hold on. Yeah, I said sweet and low, not the blue one. I want the pink one. I just want to make sure you know that. So, Dave, what I was saying is... Why haven't you done nothing? I want to know why. Like, I bought my tickets. I came down here. I flew all the way down here on JetBlue. It cost me an arm and a leg. And I want to know why you haven't gotten J.D. Martinez.
Can we get a sausage, egg, and cheese and everything? Medium French vanilla,
yeah,
six
my
cream.
My wife wants a bagel.
Six cream, six sugar. Dave, you... I don't know why you didn't do nothing, but I'll tell you. I'm down here for the spring... But when I get back in the summer, you've been to Dillboy? You ever been to Dillboy Stadium? You come watch me play softball. I'm a born slugger. Get me down to... You get me out there. I'll work on my glove. You need a slugger. Come to Dillboy. You'll see. I crush.
Hold on, Dave. Don't leave yet. Hold on. I'm not done with you. Hold on. I want a cruller, too. I'll have one of those crullers.
Seriously, the torture.
He said 10. That's
you've got to be...
That's a lot.
10
that's
a
lot.
Day? You sit there and Duncan knows like
oh my
10
God.
People a day? Come up to you and chirp in your ear about the Red Sox?
Yeah, do you still have oatmeal here? I used to get the oatmeal. There's a little pack of raisins. They call it fruit. Do you have the fruit that comes with the oatmeal? I want one of those.
Dave, why don't you play Vasquez more behind the plate? I mean, Sandy Leon, are you kidding me? Vasquez is the guy. And what's his first name? Dave, what's his first name? It's Christian.
He's a good man. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, how do you not get your coffee
oh
and
my
run
God,
out of there like your hair is on fire?
Holy smokes.
Oh, use the app. Like, use the app. Go in and get it and get out. What the hell are you doing?
When I first heard it, I'm like, well, that's Maz. Because he's in Dunkin' Donuts like three times a day. Oh, there's Dabrowski. Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
tell what's his face. Tell it. How come I'm blanking on the closer's name?
Kimbrel.
Tell Kimbrel he sucks.
Yeah, Dave, before you go, I want to ask you about Devas, too, because I like Devas. I want to know if Devas is for real. Oh, that reminds me. I'll take a dozen donuts. Don't forget the donut. Devas looks like he eats donuts, Dave. So, like, are you guys putting him on a program? Are you getting him in shape?
Is that for real? Seriously, can you imagine?
It sounded like it is.
That he sits there. First of all, there's nothing wrong with sitting there in Dunkin' Donuts and drinking your coffee in Dunkin' Donuts. But if you're doing that, you've got some time to kill. Like, I mean, you've got some time.
Well, he obviously does. He did nothing.
I was just going to say, he hasn't made a move all winter. He probably looks like Devers, for crying out loud.
You've got some time.
I'm trying to figure out what Dave Dombrowski actually does now.
So, but he actually sits in the Dunkin'.
I'm going to get a large hot, 8 cream, 8 sugar. Give me 2 honey dip, too.
Yeah,
all
like,
right, hon?
Like Bedad does.
Dabrowski, let me ask you something.
4 cream, 4 Splenda.
You got all these theme nights at the park. You got country night. You got Star Wars night, law enforcement night. You got nothing for us laborers? I mean, you got a lot of support here from Local 22. Where's our night? You got Grateful Dead night. You got it. Don't forget where you came from, Dombrowski.
WWE night.
Fan after fan after fan.
Yeah, Dave, are you serious about Swihart at second? Are you guys serious? Like, that guy's never played second. You're going to put him at Swihart. Swihart's going to play second base?
Oh, my
Why
God.
Are you always wearing turtlenecks? You look like a squid. I'm just going to say it. I'll come up to anybody. I'll talk to anybody, right?
All right, so, but then the second thing. How many fans out there do you think want them to do nothing?
I know I do. I would say the majority of fans, believe it or not, want him to do something. I find that, but honestly, I should say I find that stunning. The whole offseason has been one big stink bomb in baseball. Okay, but it's been an especially smelly stink bomb in Boston. And they need power. Everybody knows it. I'm almost as stunned by the fact that they've shown this discipline.
Well, so look, I'm telling you, I want them to do nothing now because they lost on Stanton or they lost on someone legit. Don't throw bad money after good and make a mistake just because now you're chasing it. Now you do nothing because you blew it. But how could you have a team that has done the exact same thing 2 straight years, exact same team 2 straight years, and then bring back the exact same team with almost literally no changes on the roster and be okay with that? Like, who's okay with that? Are there really fans in the Dunkin' Donuts who are okay with that?
I am for 2018 because I'm with you. Do nothing this season because you missed out on Stanton.
But now, at this point, when you're just going to overspend on someone who's not worth it, fine, do nothing. But going into the thing, if we all said to you after that playoff loss that they're going to do absolutely nothing, nothing. They're going to bring back everybody except for Nunez, who's actually the one guy you liked at the end of the year. But everyone else comes back and they're going to do nothing other than change the manager. Are you okay with that?
No,
really?
You know how I felt about it. I told you my concern at the end of the year was that that was what they were going to do, and that's where they've ended up. Now, the problem is that they whiffed on the guy they should have gone out and gotten in Stanton, and they completely blew it. But now they should stand pat, because I like my routine anyway, Dave. Like,
oh,
I come
God.
To Dunkin' every day, and I
so,
get my coffee.
Apparently, Cody on Twitter has sent me a tweet saying, Dave does this all the time at the Kenmore Square Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, my God. Like, just that time.
This is a regular occurrence.
So this isn't just
Cody
Florida.
And look, there's nothing. I love Dunkin' Donuts. This isn't about Dunkin' Donuts.
No, this is about being bothered.
This is about being approached by people.
Yeah, it's about guys like me, Dave. Because I want answers. I want to know why Swihart's at second.
That is, wow.
I don't know what else he does other than give his friends big contracts.
I'll tell you what, though. Don't you think it kind of fits him? I mean, he's like old school, hang out in the coffee shop. Like, I just think the world...
Is he? Do you feel like he is?
Most people go to Dunkin' now, you run in, you run out, right?
Yes.
Oh, I think he strikes me as the kind of guy that, oh yeah, I'll hang in the coffee shop. I'm a man of the people.
Because then he can tell you he's been in baseball for 40 years, and he talks to LaRusso,
this
guy.
So he goes to the Kenmore Square Dunkin' and sits there and lets fans approach him. That is, wow.
You know, I've been in baseball 40 years, and I talked to La Russa and Lierland and all the greats.
Yeah, speaking of La Russa, you're going to bump him up, right? He's going to be the man.
Here comes an update from Murray.
I saw him at the hotel bar.
90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.